Good morning and welcome. The Monday edition of Down to Brass Stats starts right here, right now. I'm your host and moderator, Corey Lane. We go until 1 o'clock this afternoon, the 5th day of March 2018. Taking care of things technical and producer-wise, we have Mr. Graham Vaughan in the chair, not on the ear yet. So we're hoping to have a fantastic beginning of the week here on Down to Brass Stats. So, as I said, we're going until 1 p.m. And you know that is the what I call the Brass Stats Express. So today, the focus remains the same. What is it that you, the callers, want to hear? And hopefully, what is it that you many listeners out there who are propping up right now, adjusting the station, getting it right, because you want to hear what it is that the callers and sometimes the regular callers will want to say. I know how this story goes. Now, as we approach what many people call the silly season, it is a very important season. As we, you would know, we have the dissolution of Parliament today. It constitutionally dissolves itself today. I don't know if that is historic, because from the time I started to follow politics, and I always had the idea that the Parliament is dissolved by the Prime Minister in a message to the Governor General or whatever. So we are in uncharted territories in many respects in relation to our foreign reserves. I think they're as low as it was back in the 1990s. And politically, a lot of people are in the political wonderland, not knowing where to turn next. These are all things that would be on the minds of many Barbadians. And as you move around Barbados and you go to the supermarket, you go to the shop, you talk with family, I know many times on the lips of many people, it's the politics of the day and also things happening within our society or changing society. Now, two things, and then we go to the telephone lines. I want to start this program, as usual, on some positive note. I want to send congratulations to the Kings. And today I'm going to call them the Kings because yesterday at the Founders Day service of the Barbados Boy Scouts Association, you have a gentleman by the name of Mr. John King, my former scout master, scout leader, someone I looked up to as a father figure through the years and probably still do. He would have witnessed the awarding of his second son with the Gold Award, which is a pretty high award in scouting, but he would have also witnessed the award of his son, Jonathan King, with the Queen's Scout Award, which is the highest award in scouting. So I just want to take this opportunity to congratulate those three kings and say good job. And that is something for young people also to look forward to. We have programs like the Juhu Edinburgh, we have programs like the Barbados Boy Scouts, still alive. I don't know how well. I'm not going to get here and pretend and be a hypocrite and tell you that it's all well and good in these organizations, because they know better. And the time is coming for that. The other thing I want to impress upon is the People's Manifesto. I don't know if it's been officially launched at this end, but I want you listeners and you callers to put your mind in gear for this exercise called the People's Manifesto and start to gear up for how we can make this exercise a meaningful exercise, an effective exercise in the betterment of Barbados. And that is by putting your proposals. Now, during the course of the program, once time allows, I want to pull from some of the People's Manifestos sent to us here at VOB929.com. And there's one called The Charter for Change by Olatunde Waldron. And it starts off with constitutional change, looking at removing Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth II as head of state. So as you will know, when the next parliament is sworn in, they will swear to Queen Elizabeth II and her heirs and descendants and plebs and commoners. So the whole idea is, do we need to relook that? And they put that on the table. There are many others, But I'm sure that you, the callers, would have your own people's manifesto. We prefer it written, but of course, the written submissions can always be discussed here in studio. So with that said, 6 minutes after 10, I want to say good morning and welcome to Down to Brass Tacks.
Good morning, Corey.
Hi, good morning to you, sir.
Whoa, I've never opened batting before. Okay.
Let me see how good an opening batsman you are.
Well, the good news is that I actually want to come with good news.
Good,
wanted to say that some systems in Barbados are indeed still functioning well. Mm-hmm. And to what am I referring, you ask? I am talking about the Office of Public Counsel. 2 years ago, I purchased a cell phone. The cell phone, after 6 months, decided, and it was a Christmas gift for the wife. And after 6 months, the cell phone decided it's not working anymore. After being directed all over the place and getting plenty turnaround, and worst case, shocked that persons were not willing to accept responsibility that they sold me a bad phone from inception, I was informed about the Office of Public Counsel, and I am pleased to say that just shy of 2 years later, that this morning I collected my check, full refund. So I can say that some things in Barbados are indeed still functioning, even if you have to wait and be inconvenienced for a little while. And to my pleasant surprise, I found out that, and I can't vote for him because I don't live in his constituency, but I found out only last night that Mr. Toppin is the person who set that office up along with the Fair Trading Commission, etc. So even though he's not in power, I think he would have done it probably when he was in power, but I'm thankful that some politicians are indeed doing what they're supposed to do. So this morning I want to give a bouquet to Ronald Toppin, the attorney who would have set the office up, and I'm thankful that the kind people at the Office of Public Counsel, I don't want to call Mr. Leach's name, but he was very helpful in guiding me through the entire process, especially when you know you're getting ripped and you know you're getting hurt. But I'm glad that things worked out, and I just want to start on a good positive note that some things are working, even if it looks dark in the night, joy comes in the morning.
I am very glad. I was turning to my producer to find out if he didn't have any applause sound effects. And then I remembered I'm not on Hot Talk, I am on Brass Tacks. But I'm very glad you brought that. I know sometimes, and the first thought that would come to people's mind would be the fact that, you know, 2 years is still too long. But I think it is still better than nothing.
And a lot of times,
go ahead.
I am thankful that I was patient, huh? Mm-hmm. Because when the first set of resistance came, I could not believe it. They directed me to go to a particular place to get the phone check, which I did everything they asked me to do. And even though the results came back proving that the phone was bad from inception, they still were fighting me. And yes, I could have gone on Facebook and rant and rave and hold up my skirt and block and all of that, but that'd be so contrary to who I am. Don't get me wrong, I was angry, and I was disappointed in the behavior. And it's not that the staff were rude or anything, you know, but the powers that be were just looking at bottom line, and how could they not do what they were supposed to do as a business?
But that is the norm, and that is supported by the consumer culture that we have in Barbados. And the consumer culture is one which looks at, you know, grumbling and mumbling and fumbling.
But it's a big, you see the big picture here. The big picture is that they were trying to frustrate me to just give it up and walk away.
But
too many people do.
Exactly.
And we are lowering our standards day by day and allowing nonsense to take place. And you know, you can segue to whole set of things when it comes to leadership and when it comes to follow through and being accountable and accepting responsibility. Because we have a whole bevy of people in Barbados in leadership positions that are saying, not me, it's not my fault, it's somebody else's fault. And it is shocking that we are allowing these things to creep into what is the standard for Barbados. We can do better. And I'm thankful that at least something is still working.
Okay,
Mr. Corey.
All right, thank you very much. So let's go for the triple crown. Let's go for the hat trick. Three positives. I want to say congratulations to young Samuel once again, Jalon Samuel, taking it home once again. I think the fifth Sandy Lane Gold Cup under the belt. I think that is something again. So we got three positives that we have started off with. So whoever said Brass Tacks, just pure negative, was definitely wrong. Brass Tacks, good morning.
Good morning, Corey.
Hi, good morning.
I called early, so when they cut me off, it won't feel like It won't feel so painful after waiting for an hour, right? Okay. I want to ask you if you heard about this law for wearing helmets for bicycle men.
Yep, heard about it, yep.
So it is in effect, or is just...
It's in effect, yes. I understand it's in effect.
And it can be charged $1,500?
No, it's $300. $300. Like, and you think the maximum 3 months in jail. And you ride bicycles, right?
Yeah.
I could picture you up there at HMP Dawes educating the prisoners about the flat earth, you know? I could picture that now.
You're right to laugh at me. You're right to make sport at me. So this was in the paper. It went through the paper in the media.
To be honest, I didn't see it. I did browse the amendment when it first came out, but it was focusing a lot on the breathalyzer and all that stuff. It actually did a program.
But they can't get that. That's a law too, the breathalyzer?
Yeah. People saying that the breathalyzer didn't go through, but I saw the breathalyzer in there, and it had the number of milliliters and millidis and all of that. I'm gonna pull it up because they're gonna read it throughout the program, these particular sections. But the thing is, these things are at your fingertips now, because all you have to do is type in road traffic at Barbados, anything like that. Google these type of things, and then you can look for the more sensible looking headline and you follow it. And even if it's not that, you go again. And that's how I usually find these things. So cap 295 regulation at, right. So we can continue to look at these and look for the latest amendments, and then it is then at your fingertips. But tell me, as a cyclist, how do you feel about that particular amendment?
I can be pleased the way how it being implemented, Mr. Corey. I can feel pleased that you actually it's just overnight and just put a law, and people got to scramble now to look for FD, you know, for helmets, right? Anyway, but the seatbelt law, that's why you see the BLPs operate like after brighter than the DLP, you know. A lot of people say the same thing, that they operate like if they got more sense. Because there's no way that I can see Orrin after making these type of laws at the eve of an election. Can imagine a man getting charged. The telephone law is a very good law, right? It won't do it every since. Because if I say it is immoral to drive with a telephone, people want to know what you got to do with morality, right? Mm-hmm. It is immoral. It's wrong, right? Because you're endangering not only your life, other people's life, right? So that's a law that they want passing every since. But you know where they know to pass it at the eve of election. I know you up now with a bicycle, a law for helmet. You actually must. I hear Kerry Sidman. I listen over the you. Although I criticize, sound like criticize BLP. I subscribe to the channel, you know.
But you always have critics on the opposition channel, because you remember that you still got to see what it is they're saying. So it's not surprising. Yeah.
So I hear Mr. Kerry Simmons saying that that when they get in office, they will pass a law saying that right now the actually Parliament end today, right?
Yes, it finished.
Right, so that they weren't able to make the deals. Mm-hmm. 'Cause you said that the DLP is actually known for making deals after Parliament closed, mm-hmm. right? So I wanna if they got a probably think that we might not get back in. So let me do all the things that we should do. Right? So it looked to me that way, Corey.
But you really on the pivot. I've listened to you in the last couple of times. You've really pivoted your position, because you were that type of caller that, you know, stood fast and whatever the deal. You actually said it. You believe or you agree with it because the Democratic Labour Party, they're the ones who did it. They're the members who did it, or the Minister of Finance. I believe in the budget because it's him. But now you're pivoting and actually coming, I don't know, full circle or 180 to change your position on everything. So you're up against everything that they're doing now, and the trajectory that they're on in terms of predicting that they would get up to wrongdoing after today. That's how it sounds to me.
Mm-hmm. Don't get me wrong. I believe that some people don't understand why there's B's and there's D's. I can understand, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure. I got a philosophy. So therefore, there have... My the type of group that is part of my personality or what have you, right? Where I could agree with a lot of things that they're doing, and their style of I would say that they're the pragmatical group, right? David Thompson was pragmatical, Errol Barrow was, right? So I like that type of stuff. So when you see me supporting them, it ain't that I actually is one of these people going out to the meeting and trying to say, I voting for you, brother. Come here, or high water. I actually, any if they're wrong, I can say that they're wrong. When they do things they don't like, I can speak out. And a yard phone and quarry, right? And because there is actually, I just want these people that if they lose, I ain't voting. That's me, right? But I'm not like the BLP supporters that we voting because we's party fearful. Because the BLP voters seem to be different that way. It's vote whether did the party do nonsense or not. But the BLP voters, they stand home.
You say right? if they lose, you're not voting?
No, I if they lose, it is because I want that. I want people that ain't vote for them.
Oh,
to
support them. Okay.
That's what I mean. That's how they lose the government, you know.
Okay,
when they do nonsense, that they support them, they stand home, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I ain't got the
but you wouldn't you wouldn't shift your vote in another direction. You will either stand home or support your government.
The truth is not for BLP. And Mr. King is in my neighborhood, right?
Mm-hmm.
He had a meeting last week. He's fighting against Mr. SZ. Mm-hmm. But I would, if I had a vote, I would vote for a new party, not a BLP, right?
Okay,
I'm a BLP man,
right?
And I wouldn't mind.
So any party but the BLP would get your vote?
Yeah. I wouldn't mind Mr. Lane if the new party will cause an upset. I wouldn't mind at all.
Mm-hmm.
Because two of them, like to me, need to give two of them a rest. And get fresh blood now and see what they can do.
On that note, I want to say this. And, you know, I just have to say what needs to be said. Now, about 2-3 years ago, I started to really, and if anybody remember my commentary, I was one who was really pushing this idea of the third party or the alternative party. Mm-hmm. And then today I am not satisfied that Barbados has benefited in any major way from alternative parties. And I'll tell you why. I think that the call for third parties, even in the polls that were done, because I remember seeing and talking about a poll which spoke to about 33 to 35% of the population saying that they wouldn't mind supporting a third party. But I think it stopped short. I think what people were calling for was a really well-constituted, serious alternative party and not necessarily a party that just comes on the eve of an election to present itself because people know that the population are tired of B and D and think like you, they need a rest. So the thing is, it is not an outright criticism of the attempt at the third party exercise in Barbados. What it is that I believe that there's lots of room for development, lots of room for improvement. And I think they can only grow from strength to strength once their mind and heart are in the right place.
But Mr. Lane, how you mean that Barbados didn't benefit from a third party as if we had a third party that win office?
No, you don't only have to win. I think if you have a third party and it causes the government or the opposition to step up the game or, you know, to do things better, to improve, you can benefit without winning. What you're seeing is you have a lot of third parties out there and they are being accused left, right, and center of just being anti-opposition, which is really strange. So a lot of people that I've spoken to, a lot of people I read on social media are really convinced that the third parties are in bed with the government. Does that argue well for the democracy and the third party exercise? I don't think so.
All right. You see, we just call a word there, democracy. I mean, for the sake of democracy, we should try saying new. And even if we got to get a one term, if they actually fail or what.
But you think that people's lives, decisions, millions, billions of dollars, development should be left at giving people a try, a chance? This is a country. This is not a lucky day.
What we got to lose, though?
What? We have everything to lose. We have our reputation, our stability. The list is endless. Of the things that Barbados has to lose.
But Mr. Lane, as Mr. Dr. Bella was saying, we go down, down, down. We started to go up. At least we could take a gamble because we lose a lot on these both parties so far, right? That's what you see.
But it's possible that you could lose a lot. We would have lost a lot on the both parties, but we would have gained a lot on the both parties at some time in history.
And that's why you can't.
The whole idea is that sometimes we look sometimes at the negative, but it's very hard to see what could have been, because you would just be assuming or projecting or, you know, estimating. But we never look and see that how much worse it could have been. Mm-hmm. You get where I'm coming from? So that really is the situation. You cannot say, look, two of these doing bad, so you can try anything. The anything could be worse.
But you never know until you try. I don't feel it worth a chance.
But the persons or entity that you're willing to give a chance must demonstrate that they can do at least a little better.
But Mr. Lane, the night two ain't demonstrating that. They, the two old parties, both BLF and DLF, demonstrate that they can really get we out of the mess that they got us in the first place.
For argument's sake, let's agree with you. Let me ask you the question. Any of the alternatives that put before you demonstrate that they can do better in anywhere?
But I trying to tell you what we got to lose. And the two ain't doing demonstrating nothing neither. So that just we just gain a new flesh blood a chance, that is all. To see what can happen. You never know.
Well, it is your constitutional right.
You never know that.
When you get in that booth, sir.
You never know that somebody can come just like Mr. Owen Arthur. But I don't know Mr. Owen Arthur until we give him a try.
So we had a lot of unknown quantities. Nobody knew about a lot about the management or leadership style of the current prime minister as well. So that is a good example too to look at.
Well, Miss Eastman is in there. Mm-hmm. At least he gave a woman a chance. Have a good day.
Brad Stats, good morning. Good morning.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Hey, am I here?
Yes, you are.
Good morning. I agree with some of what the previous caller said. He stole a lot of my thunder, but he still have one or the two things that he want to deal with.
So I got a couple of bolts.
Yeah. First thing first, at 42 years, Corey, I want to say something about the police force, so don't even forget that part. At 42 years, I saw a lot of legislation passed in Barbados already. I don't know much about legislation, but I know, as the previous caller was saying, when you see a seatbelt law was being passed, it was a countdown. Barbados have 2 days before. Barbados have 30 days. Anybody caught after this will happen.
I think it was about 9 months, if my mind's serving correctly. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So from my experience, we had governments in place where they used to give the people the opportunity. You don't just come and put things on people just so. But from my observation, I realized I was using my cell phone the other day. Somebody told me that a law passed that you're not supposed to use your cell phone driver. Honestly, I didn't know that a cell phone law passed. I went to do a delivery the other day, and a guy told me that it is illegal to ride without a helmet. Now, I want to ask a question in good common sense. Who government, you know, Corey, would wake up one morning and just put these things? No, even if they pass in Parliament, everybody don't listen to Parliament. There must be advertising. You must be given the right amount of time where you, the magistrate would be able to say, well, look, you had ample time to know that this legislation was coming, it was passing, it is passed, it was in the papers, it was in the media. And I honestly believe that anybody that go to court right now for a helmet, cell phone, or any of these use, even though I disagree with cell phone using during driving, I believe anybody that go to court, it needs to be like given a chance, say to the person, well, look, this is the law, and this thing needs to be more educated. People need to be more educated about this thing. You just can't come and get one morning and pass laws and expect everybody to fly. It don't work like that anymore.
I think there's really been a demonstration of a clear disconnect between the people and the government, the governed and the governing, because this is not the first example. A lot of times throughout this program, I remember talking about lack of consultation with the people, and a lot of people are feeling that way. Some people will put the blame on the people for not following Parliament, the reading of the bills, the first reading, and so on, so that we are up to the time. But some people will put it at the feet of the government, who you would believe would reach out to the persons that they are representing and allow them to know the direction that they believe that they're going. But for me, I think a lot of these things, a lot of mumbo jumbo, I'll tell you why. In terms of the cell phone law, I believe that should have been implemented ever since. Not passed, not amended, just implemented. When they look at the this same thing I'm looking through now for the same bicycle helmet thingy, I am seeing laws here which speak to not driving without due care and attention, driving without due consideration of other people on the road or the highway. All of those are legislations, to my mind, that really could have dealt with driving and texting, driving and talking, because how can you pay due care and attention while texting? It's just not possible without reasonable consideration of other persons. So I think that these are things that just needed to be implemented. And sir, I agree with you. An education campaign should have been launched to look at these things before and not after. The mere fact that you're doing it after, you acknowledge it's something that is needed. If you acknowledge it's something that is needed, it is obvious that it should be needed before you look to implement it. So I agree with you on that.
Thank you, sir. Move the next one we want to look at then is the government. That government. I called me the station many times and they complained about buses. And I realized that the bus isn't getting the better. I never talk politics really on this phone and on the radio, but today I want to just spend a little minute talking on the politics. I anxious to see what the opposition leader have to bring to the table. I agree with third parties, but I ain't see a third party form yet. None of the parties that I see come up with anything that they put on the table. To me, them in the third parties. Them is, to me, I might be wrong. To me, all of them sound DLP. I never see a third party come yet in all my 42 years attacking the opposition. That don't make sense to me. But
I want to say it all. When we get into the absolute, we run ourselves in problems. Because without pointing out all of them that are not doing it, you could point to one of the party's solutions. You don't hear any acquisition, anybody accusing Solutions Barbados of just attacking the opposition alone. So let's not say it all.
Okay, well, we will say all then. But what I'm anxious to see, I want vote one more time. One more time I want to vote, and it's this election. I'm anxious to see what the opposition, Mayor Motley as a leader, has to bring. And in so doing, that I'm declaring my hand today that I will be supporting the Barbados Labour Party, not because I'm a BLP, nor because I hate the DLP. I was suffering for the last 10 years as far as buses and all of the people in the terminal, including Friday. I had to wait 4 hours for a bus. I am desperate to see what the opposition has to bring and what Mayor Motley as a leader.
But you shouldn't, I ain't telling you how to vote, but you shouldn't call that out before you vote, because in other words, you would just be setting yourself up for disappointment all the time.
I don't mind. I had enough disappointment over the last 10 years, and I could publicly say that if the Democratic Labour Party win by election, I will be willing to accept that the Democratic Labour Party is the next government or the government that will continue. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I am anxious to see what Mayor Motley has.
But what you're trying to do is avoid Barbadians setting up themselves for disappointment. I think Barbadians
I
think so, because if you just change...
Barbadians are so frustrated that the only thing, and one of the things I would like to see Mayor Motley do, if she gets into the government, set a fixed date for election. This thing about a prime minister have the ability to got all the whole of Barbados to when he wants to call, this foolishness needs to stop. Set a date that at the 1st of January, after the 5 years, the first working day, elections will be called.
And my concern, I just reminded of my main concern, again, cutting here, is that I find that too many Barbadians are focusing on the election itself, the winning and losing of an election and not the issues. So you have an issue with buses, and you believe that because we have 80 buses as opposed to 300 buses, that if you change a government, and I'm not telling you if to change it or not, because if I really was to give my opinion here, I know people would be much more disappointed than they claim to be recently here and in other places. But if you change a government and you still have 80 buses, do you feel that the situation will improve? The problem is the system, the buses, the structure, everything. And just swapping one for the other, or a new one or old one, it is the same bitter juice in a different bottle.
The question I'm asking is, how comes that after 10 years, not one single sector not one single thing is working the way it used to work. And don't tell me it's because of the economy, because you can see money floating all the way around. Let me move to my last point before you get cut.
Yeah.
The police.
You smell the rat.
We went to the community Saturday as a Saturday event. We went to the community with the police and the soldiers to look for the missing lady in St. Joseph. Right? And I ain't saying that bad, so I ain't going to get frightened. I work with the police in the field looking for this lady. I think the uniform that the police have, Corey, something, the police need a field uniform that resembles the normal uniform they use in case they have to be called from the field to go to the street that they can still be identified. I think it is a wicked thing to got the policemen. And I'm watching these policemen, and we need to take off the active police, you know. I'm watching these policemen working in this uniform that they have to work on the desk with, on the street with, at parades with, in the field, same uniform. And I think that we need, the relevant authorities need to look at finding a field uniform that still can work on the street, that the policemen can feel comfortable working in this hot sun, in the field, in the grass, in mud, in water. Because they step in mud with the shoes on, they step in water with the shoes on, the shirt sweat, the hats they had to take off. It is real uncomfortable for the police to go to the field and still come back with the results that you send them for with this uniform. So we need to look at another uniform. That's all I want to say.
All right, let me end by supporting you on that point as well. It's something also for the prison wardens. I remember having that discussion when they had to chase Hall in some square mouse, you know, some slippery shoes. I think we need to be fit for purpose, but I think is one of those things we hold on to our colonial background with, and probably money too. But I think it's more that the old colonial type dress. So you got on these, you know, dress shoes out in the field, you know, kind of thing, a hot hat and some hot clothes. That's what we like. We don't want to embrace the fact that we are from the Caribbean. That's just how we are. We like it so. Brastats, we're going to be right back. We go to the WhatsApp. This one says, Corey, I disagree with you on the issue of the cell phone ban. Why would a person need to hear or be informed on social media platforms that driving using a cell phone is wrong and dangerous? Simple common sense should tell you that. Having legislate these sort of things tell us how selfish, stupid, and dumb some people are. Ooh. Hi, Corey, don't call my name. I'm at work. They're making criminals out of people, and the likelihood of making people lose their jobs because persons, if they have to go to court and they don't have the funds the court may place on them, and hence the possibility of them losing their jobs as a result, causing hardship placed on people. Hi, Corey, even the local bike stores don't have enough helmets in stock. I know, I've checked, they're on order. Lucky for me, I'm always wearing a helmet when I'm bike commuting, so no worries for me. Someone says, good morning. At the garrison on Saturday, a number of little boys were playing with cap guns. They were on sale and apparently very popular. I would like to see them banned once again. You should have seen the posturing. Frightening. Actually, I don't even think you need to ban them. I think that they are illegal. When I look at the amended Firearms Act, anything that emits a sound and so the criteria actually puts cap guns very close to being almost like actual firearms. It's amazing. As you would know, that there are a number of other things that we used to use or have that are now in that category and can put yourself in some serious problems just by being in possession of one. Brastats, good morning. Good morning and welcome. Brastats, good morning.
Hello, hi, good morning, Mr. Corey Lynn.
Hi, good morning, Mr. Wesley.
Hi, you must be good if I didn't call you now.
I would have been so disappointed. I would have to seek therapy afterwards.
You? Listen, though, how you doing, man?
I'm fair, man. I'm not good. As good as I would like to be.
I heard a caller before, right? Left brain. I misunderstand what he was saying. He was talking about the use of helmets with pedal bicycles, right?
Mm-hmm.
he got a problem with it, right?
He said he didn't like how it was implemented.
But, you know, the first 1,000 steps begin where?
One step.
Good.
The first step.
Now, I'm on record in supporting the cell phone misuse, driving and using cell phone and all that, because it went to extreme, right, where people have been driving and texting and all that, right?
Mm-hmm.
It moved away from calling the high good. I assume it moved away from that to actually texting. So I'm all in support with the cell phone law. I'm also in support of this helmet for pedal cycles, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because the truth is, right, Barbados has changed. We live in the old Barbados of the 70s and the 60s. I'm sure the vehicles on the road, motor vehicles on the road, is triple what we used to have in back in those days, right?
Mm.
And the road become a really a dangerous place to be at sometimes, okay? And if that one little instrument could protect you from serious damages or from any damage at all to your head, I think it's a worthwhile gesture, okay?
Mm.
And I support it. I do believe, even though I don't see it as yet, I do believe that on your ranch, I believe when you do your horseback riding, I would believe that you would put helmets on the people there, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, you can't equate the two, though. I'll tell you why.
No, I understand that. I understand, but here we're going. I understand that.
Mm.
But and Barbados has changed so much. Today, people, and I heard the same caller, if not on this program, the program earlier, because the next one back up and kicking, right?
Mm-hmm.
Talking about them, not many bicycles, bicycle riding in Barbados, not true. I am saying to you, cruise ships now come in to this shores, right?
Mm-hmm.
To these shores, with their own bicycles and whatnot. And they traverse the countryside where I live. Every single tourist, every single one of them has on a helmet. You understand what I'm saying?
I understand.
So Barbados got to everything that is for the common good, to protect you from yourself. I remember when the food handlers was given a mandate, hey, if you don't put a stocking over your head, if you don't take off your rings, if you don't stop painting it your fingernails to deal with food.
But let us pinpoint what the real issue is for persons so far, and that is they're talking about they did not even know. I only overheard, you know, people talking about, that's how I know. I browsed through the thing. I didn't look for anything on bicycles, you know.
You didn't know for the first time.
Suppose the first time, there are many people out there, especially those youngsters, right? A lot of youngsters, you know, is be on the road with a little bicycles and so on. Do they know?
I am saying to you, right? I am saying to you, and I like the point that somebody raised, I don't remember if it's you or if it's the other fella, right?
Mm-hmm.
Up in the bank, talk about the parents should not wait, especially the youngsters, because you bring youngsters, right, should not wait to any policy put in place to put a helmet on for the child.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So let me think. I am saying that.
But no, I think that we're really missing the point, you know, basically.
I know there's a mad rush of late to implement all these things to say, okay, mm-hmm. I do that, right? I know that. I am supporting that, right? But I support the wider picture, all right?
Mm-hmm.
But I still think that things are being implemented in this country overnight. That should, and for sometimes I realize that isn't properly thought through. If you really check the same cell phone law, right? I understand all that, right?
I think what you are not understanding, Wesley, and just give me a minute, okay, is the fact that we have a culture. It may not be a safe culture. Other countries in the world, Canada, United States, you have to wear a helmet, right? But we have a culture here. How many people you see? I even see a very bad practice creeping into Barbados, well, it's crept into Barbados, where you have people riding motorcycles without helmets. One of the few countries you would not see that in the Caribbean is Barbados, because when I travel the Caribbean, I see people riding without helmets. It's not even the law across many of the islands in the Caribbean. But in Barbados, one place you would see people wearing helmets on motorcycles is Barbados. Now, that is something that I could agree with, because we knew it was against the law to ride without helmets on motorcycles. But we have a culture of people who've grown up all their lives knowing it not to be the law and not doing it. Was it safe? No. But it is the culture. Now, hold on. What I'm saying, there are hundreds, probably thousands of little boys, girls riding bicycles. Their parents may not be tuning to current affairs, listening to brass, that's and all type of things. They do not know, and they can find themselves on the wrong side of the law. And then you have to consider the financial part of it. The ability to buy a helmet versus the ability to pay a fine.
You buy the bicycle.
And they may not be able to know. Not everybody buy bicycle. Some people go down by the point and buy a little bicycle for $50. Some people put up a bicycle with little parts here and there. We got to understand all the I'm telling you. I've seen it in recent
Corey,
times.
Corey, mm-hmm. Me and you are in cross stores with this, you know. We're in crossing stores. I understand you and I on your page. But truth to be told, let me look at the wider spectrum, right? Mm-hmm. No bicycle should be sold as from tomorrow before the helmet. How fair that is.
How fair that is. We live in a world of capitalism. And a lot of these bicycles not even outfitted with all the things they're supposed to, reflectors and so on. And I know, if I know the capitalists, like I know them. They could disagree, but they know that they'll be into their own self. They need to be true. They can pick off these parts and sell anything separate, you know.
I want to support you with one something you just mentioned in passing, right?
Mm.
You talk about Caribbean islands, right? The most dangerous place, I'm telling you, the most dangerous place that I experienced driving in the Caribbean is Trinidad. Mm-hmm. You know, Trinidad really ain't got a seatbelt enforced law up to the last 5 years or so.
I know that some of them places.
You with me, right?
I with you. Jamaica, St. Vincent, all those places I drive, the corners, the hills, the mountains, and these people going around, overtaking around. I drive inside those places, right? They could tell you. I remember in St. Vincent, this guy, he was overtaking something. He hit a guy that was walking on the road in a sidewalk. He hit this guy so hard with the mirror. The man stopped up the road, get out. Look at the mirror, get in the car, gone. I said, wait. Why are you walking the streets of these places? It's not me.
All right.
The man get out to check on his mirror. Last point.
Last but not least, you got a little room for a little politics?
Yeah, of course.
Good.
Of course.
Now, Ms. Motley, experience is coming to focus of late, right? I want to tell all these people that when Ms. Motley case, Ms. Motley enter government, into parliament as a government MP, okay, in 1994. She was entrusted with the Ministry of Culture, and we see how culture take off, okay, so much so that 33,000 people Miss Motley was able to place for Party Monarch on the East Coast Road. Do you remember that?
I remember, I don't know your figure, but I remember we had a big party.
And it was big and getting bigger by the year. Mm-hmm. Okay? Now, Miss Motley was the Deputy Prime Minister and Attorney General in this country. That's a lot of responsibility, buddy. You understand? And she she didn't take that portfolio for a year or two. At least 5 years. You understand? Miss Motley has enough experience. And when you check across the bow, right, to her opposite number, not one single person. The only person that had a chance to operate in the ministerial position in the Democrat Labour Party dead and gone, that's David Thompson.
Mm-hmm.
And this new dispensation. You understand what I'm saying?
I am not going to run away from the fact, and I'm going to give Miss Motley this. I think she would be one of the most qualified prime ministers on gaining the position. Because if you look at the prime ministers through our history, we had a lot of surprise prime ministers.
Mm-hmm.
We had the death of the Right Excellent Earl Walton Barrow, and a lot of people expected Dr. Richie Haynes. They got Sir Lloyd, then was Erskine Sandiford. We would have had the unlikely candidate of Mr. Owen Arthur.
Because
remember, he was not a senior person in the party at the time. He was the fresh blood, they were calling him at the time.
There you go.
Then you had David Thompson, and then you had the death of David Thompson, and then you had a very unlikely candidate, someone who was probably just acting to hand back over, in the now prime minister. So we had a lot of surprise prime ministers and prime ministers who would have not had hold the portfolios that Miss Motley held. So as she becomes prime minister, she probably would be one of the most persons qualified for the position on attaining the position.
And Corey, mm-hmm. when National Hero Barrow passed, right? And Sir Lord Erskine Sandiford at that time stepped into the Prime Minister chair. Mr. Erskine Sandiford had at that time a role, at least a ministerial role, in the last Earl Barr cabinet that bring Tom Adams to fame. You remember, you understand what I'm saying, right?
Mm-hmm.
Erskine Sandiford was the education minister then in the 70s and there. So, but Miss Motley had a chance to operate in a ministerial level.
We get that point. You don't need to belabor that. We get the point.
Let me dismiss this thing, and Miss Motley don't have to tell anybody at this time. Anybody. Okay? I sure Miss Motley prepared all it now. Everything finally print, has a manifesto to see her plans and programs. You understand?
I got you.
So don't get sugar happy, right? Miss Motley will make an outstanding prime minister.
Well, there's only one way to find out.
Wesley,
we are not here to campaign, Wesley.
Well, you tell me, let me talk
no, we could talk politics, but talking politics and campaigning is two different things. Anyhow, you have a wonderful day. I like this one. This one says, good morning, Corey. I want you to take a chill pill and stop gatekeeping for the Democratic Labour Party. The electorate is a thinking one and they understand what is happening. Have a nice day. Well, you have a nice day, too. Brastats, good morning. Good morning, Brastats.
Good morning, Corey.
Yes, please.
How are you?
I'm good. What about you?
Well, you know, holding on then, that's to put it that way. You know, Corey, now, what Mr. Left Brain said, he's right. Corey, tell me something. How can you just put something on the public? So, now, say you was a security guard and you go on to your night job. In the morning when you wake up and you riding your bike going home and the police stop you and find you, you think that is right?
And no, I think it's wrong, but it will tell you absence of the law is no excuse and all type of different things and things
and so on. That is wrong. If you're going to implement something to the public, in the public interest. What you got, CBC, you got VOB, you got how many stations going, you could let them know, put it in the papers and all the thing. Nobody didn't know about this bicycle law. We didn't know about the cell phone law either. You should warn people. I have to only compliment him, talk about Britain, how I know. If when they're going to do something on you as a driver or a bicycle rider, they'll give you time.
Someone here is saying 9 months. Someone is writing us from Canada and the UK, and they say, you know, Wendy, I had it there just now. They say, oh, yes, good morning. A blessed day to you. When Canada implemented this law, we had 9 months.
Right, and it's just what I'm saying. You just cannot wake up and say, I'm going to, because you didn't have anything else to talk in Parliament. Mm-hmm. You go and bring in this stupid law. It's not stupid, but it's stupid. In a way, when someone going home from a night job or whatever, in the UK, everyone, if you're going to put on a baby on a bicycle, that baby got to have on, a little baby, you know what I mean, that baby's 3-4, got to have a beam, a helmet. Everyone have on a helmet. So when the gentleman talking about the cruise ship passenger coming, they have helmet. Because the country they come from, everyone must wear helmet. So when they come to the West Indies and coming off the cruise ship with their bicycle, they already know they have an helmet from day one. Now the cell phone law coming in. A lot of people going to come from the other Caribbean that do not have that law. And they hire a car or driving a car, whatever. And the police stop them for using a cell phone. There is no such thing to say, warn the public. You must, you know, educate the public what law you're going to put out. To fine $1,000 or $2,000 for a cell phone, which I know I do not like no one using a cell phone when they're driving. But that should have been, you know, put over. And VOB, all the station that Barbados have, the radio, the television, two newspaper.
They say that they're going to do it now, though. What does he say?
They're going to do it now, and you're still going to get fined if you eat already there. So
yeah, in between. Yeah, someone was fined already. I know he was fined or phoned, but he got fined.
That's well, yeah.
Somebody get fined already, so.
Yeah, so what they're going to do? Tell him, don't worry about that. We were wrong.
Somebody here is saying that Corey's cell phone ban was being spoken about before 2010.
But, you know, we talk, I guess, I used to talk about the cell phone shouldn't be used, but no, they never come and say anything. Now, their last days, you know, it's like a joke.
You know why that is different for me? There's a person on Skype. I'll tell you why that's different for me, because they're talking about banning music in ZRs for before 2010 too. We talk a lot of things about here, but I think when we get ready to implement things and make them law, that there should be some kind of definitive date known to the population before these things are done, full stop. I don't think that's something we need to belabor from now to 1 o'clock. I think that is so obvious that you would have to really come with a supernatural argument to, I know, defuse an argument as simple as that. Once you're implementing a law on people, they're going to be found, they're going to get fined, they're going to get locked up.
Mm-hmm.
The people should know.
But, simple. Corey, you know what? They're blaming the music. But do you ever see some of the video games that the children are playing? They're people that they look so real. And they're killing each other and blood coming out. And it's a score. How much score?
And the parents letting the children play these things?
Yeah, you said. And well, the kids are playing it.
What are you going to do there?
What are you going to do there? You're blaming the music, but forget the video games are more violent than the music. I don't like the music.
But what are you going to do? What we can do?
Well, the parents got to take control of the children. Mm. That's all I can say.
A lot of them are not doing that. So how are we going to address that?
Well, I don't know. I just honestly.
$1 million question.
I'm glad my baby's over 40, so I don't worry about that anymore.
Thank you, Vinny. I think one of that questions like those, I would like for us to spend a lot more time on instead of campaigning, because we're doing a lot of swapping and we ain't doing any improvements.